Welcome back to another installment of the Entertainment Beyond Show. As always, I'm your one and only host, Jensen, the beautiful, majestic, motherfucking Dean Jackson. And today, I'm going to give you my opinions, thoughts, and purviews on Marvel Animation's latest offering that just wrapped up, had its season finale on Wednesday, X-Men 97. Now, I know I had talked about it going just purely off the first two episodes, but now that we've got the full picture painted by having just watched episode 10, I can more fully give you my opinion. And it might give you whiplash because I was riding high. I was so high. I was soaring on eagle's wings over the first two episodes. And, you know, I still am high on the show. I think, you know, they found the perfect way to trigger, I almost said, our anxiety, our nostalgia. You don't want to be a TV show triggering people's anxiety because that just wouldn't be done. No, they triggered our nostalgia. But here's the thing, you know, that if you listen to that episode a few back, you're like, man, this nigga's giving me whiplash because what the fuck? You were so positive. You were, like you said yourself, you're soaring on eagle's wings, and now you're kind of down in the dumps. I'm like, I wouldn't really say that I'm down in the dumps. I'd just say that the way that this season flowed, there are so many plot lines going at you. The first one you have, which I knew because, again, not to sound like a fucking purist or nothing, but I did all these storylines that they did over the course of 10 episodes this season. Dedicated reading as a teenager. Lots and lots of issues of comic books. Money spent on reading, waiting. You know, the Goblin Queen arc was at least, you know, not to sound like a nerd, you know, like, excuse me, but the Goblin Queen, story arc was actually, six chapters long, and, you just can't wrap that up in, two episodes, cause it's the Goblin Queen, Madeline Pryor, you know, you need to, you know, I'm not trying to be like that, but I'm just saying. As I was saying with somebody online, which I need to stop arguing with people online because most of those people are just trying to get a fucking reaction. But I'm telling them, like, that's something that I would have liked to have seen them. I don't know, it felt kind of personal to me. It felt like they were disrespecting the storylines of the artist at that time. You know, you're paying, you know, sort of respect to them by adapting them for the small screen. But I feel like, you know, there's a storyline with Madeline Pryor. There's a storyline with fucking Storm losing her powers. There's a storyline with Magneto trying to fight on the side of the Angels. There's a storyline of Charles Xavier being in the Shi'ar, Galactic Empire. There's a storyline of fucking Bishop and Cable. And there's so much that they jam-packed and crammed into one season that there isn't enough time to make everything have the weight that it should have. You know, for a very good example, Storm loses her power. She ends up going, I would assume, like Arizona desert to hang out with Forge, try to get her powers back. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to decipher how much time has passed in a television show. But it seemed like in the span of two episodes that covered the Storm lossless or the Storm powerless arc that, they had enough time to for fucking Forge to fall in love. I feel like they could have done a more careful job of choosing to adapt certain things. nothing wrong, as the old host of this show, Alan the Hammer Weinstein, would say, tease it out, tease me a little bit. You gotta, you know, there's nothing wrong with teasing it out a little. I think sometimes Alan liked to be teased a little bit too much. But he has a point from time to time. You have to tease that shit out. And they were doing storylines with the efficacy of a coked up 16-year-old. Very little attention span. Let's do everything now and worry about the consequences of it faltering later. And that's what I felt like this season was. It's let's throw everything that we can at the fucking wall. Let's get through all stories of the 90s so that the storylines we're getting out are early 2000s. And it just was frustrating. Like, yeah, I loved it. It was nostalgic. I've got the X-Men, at least a look of the X-Men from the cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoons I used to watch as a little boy. But now we've got the all of the look, none of the luster, because we live in an age where everything, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't just drop all fucking 10 episodes at once, because that's how much people are into not wanting to wait. And it felt like the writers were on that same shit, that same, you know, to me, honestly, that same ass bullshit, where they're like, look, we can't wait. We got to get our gun off now. We've got to do all this shit. Now. I want it now. And by the end of the season, I was really looking forward to that Storm Powerless arc lasting for at least the season. You know, maybe by the end of the season, she comes in and she's got her powers back. But no, Storm gets her powers back like by the second two-parter of the story arc with Bishop. And it just kind of felt they cheapened those storylines. The storylines that meant so much to me as a boy. The storylines that I invested so much time deciphering. They kind of just fucking breezed by them real fucking quick. And it left me a little dry and wanting something more than I guess they could offer me. I really wanted something that I don't think that they had the attention span to be able to give me, which is disappointing in the least. But if we're going to, you know, speak on high marks and give high praise, you got to give it to these creators for taking someone who is literally in all sorts of medium. The only time that Scott Summers hasn't been a whipping boy is in the comics. You know, you got the movies, James Marsden. There's nothing against James Marsden because actors can only act off what the writers are writing. But they always made, on all kind of viewing media, they've always made Cyclops such a dick-headed little bitch. So to see him become the guy that at certain points in at least in print that I've known, it was so fucking, I can't even think of the word. It was cool. It was cool to see Scott Summers be the leader that he has always been, the leader he was born to be on the page, and just such a badass. Like, his powers are pretty damn cool and special, and to see that manifested episode after episode. You know, I kind of thought the first episode where the X-Jet blows up and he uses optic blast to safely commit to a superhero landing, I was just like, I'm like, all right, back to status quo. They're about to make this nigga a little bitch, little whiny bitch. And no, he was the man that he has been in the comics. Even if sometimes that man is someone who does something like get infested by a part of the Phoenix Force and then kill Charles Xavier. That happened in a more recent comic book story arc. Very shocking. Kind of damaged me a little bit. But, you know, there are storylines like towards the end of this season, like the end of episode 9, they do the Fatal Attractions where Logan James Howlett, Wolverine, whichever you prefer, tries to assassinate Magneto. Stabs this nigga in the fucking upper back of his body. Claws pop out his front, kind of ribcage area almost a little bit, but not really. And then Magneto fucking uses his magnetic powers and rips Wolverine's adamantium skeleton out of his body, which then leads to the most interesting time in Wolverine's life up until that point in the comics, where he, you know, it's later discovered or retconned that Wolverine's adamantium bonding to his bones actually stalled his mutant evolution, I guess, or whatever, evolution of his powers, which without his adamantium skeleton, he would have regressed into more and more and more of a feral state. It's very Bone Claw Wolverine's very, very fun read. And I'm just fearful that once again, you know, they've glossed over so much that I think they probably are going to glaze over a very formative. God, I still remember getting that issue, Fatal Attractions, Magneto and Wolverine on the cover, Magneto levitating Wolverine through magnetism and ripping out his metal. And I'm just afraid that they'd like, that is, to me, that is a very pivotal storyline in the comics. And judging off of their ADHD-laden structure of throwing so many different storylines at the fucking wall, I'm afraid that they won't fully respect that storyline and will just gloss the fuck over it, and it won't be given the special temper that it needs to be given. Now, I know you guys are like, man, he's kind of like coming down on this. I thought he'd be a little bit more like bending his knee and worshiping at the altar of X-Men 97. And I want to, but if they had committed, it's kind of a Disney Plus problem. It's a streaming problem in general. An effective story, unless it's going to be a limited series, you need more of the structure of traditional television. You know, you don't need 22 fucking episodes. And the only reason that 22 episodes, I think I've discussed this with you fine people before, but the reason that 22 episodes was a mandate upon a time was because once you hit 100 episodes, you're in the pocket, baby. You're getting that sweet dick syndication money for life, son. Anytime they play an episode, anybody involved, the main cast, they get a fucking cut of those profits, whether your shit's being replayed on fucking BET or Tubi or Amazon buys the streaming rights to your television show. If you hit 100 episodes, you're in that sweet dick money for some fucking good old-fashioned syndication money. The game has changed with streaming, and now they're doing 10 episodes and shit's all fucked up. And I think that's where you wouldn't need 22 episodes of X-Men 97. But I feel like 15 would have been a better, more fully rounded number than 10. And I don't know, hopefully in the future they fix the fucked up structure of this show. Or at least, you know, stick with telling, you know, don't throw so many storylines at the board. Don't be so scatterbrained about how you're doing shit. That's all that I can really beg and plead for. It's like, let's be a little bit more singular-minded on telling one story at a time. And let's not be afraid to wait a little bit. There's nothing wrong with patience. There's nothing wrong at all. I am saying that kind of fully being a hypocrite, because patience isn't one of my virtues. But I would like, you know, I would like to see them exercise a little bit more patience. At the very least, just commit to telling one or two storylines. You can definitely make them last throughout the season. If you're only going to commit to 10 episodes, nothing wrong with one good through line storyline. But I think the way that they're doing things now, where they're just like, yeah, we're going to take a bunch of Chris Claremont shit and just kind of flick it out there, you know? It's a very scatterbrained way of going about the history of the X-Men from the comic books to the screen. So with that being said, it's always a scale of between 1 and 4 thumbs up, 1 just kind of being straight up dog ass water, and 4 being, you know, the toast of Broadway, the talk of the town, the honor of the night. And for this series, this season 1, I'm really only comfortable giving it 2.5 thumbs up. You know, nostalgia's hit me in the feels and stuff. I've been, you know, for the last couple years, I've been very nostalgic. I wish I could just build a time machine and go back and live through the 90s. I'd probably do it like 2 or 3 times and really just soak it up so that I, you know, come back to my current timeline and I wouldn't have to be so nostalgic, you know, really get these hunger pangs for just the 90s, because honestly, they were kind of the best. But you can't fool me with nostalgia alone and your scatterbrained slapdash approach to storytelling and disrespecting the storylines that I had dedicated time and money to as a teenager, reading lustfully. That is the reason why it only gets 2.5 thumbs up, because I feel like it disrespects my past. And I know it's kind of stupid. I don't want to be that old guy that's like, this isn't my X-Men, you know, shaking my cane at a fucking cloud or nothing like that, but I gotta draw a line somewhere. You're not fixing to just trick me with nostalgia, nigga. Like, you're gonna have to successfully tell a good storyline. They had too many storylines to the point of literal confusion about what, you know, because in each television show, there are plot A and plot B, and I guess the plot A of the series, which is, you know, that's always going to be X-Men status quo, so it seems a little lazy, but plot A in any X-Men outing is always going to be that man fears and hates them, you know. So I'm not entirely sure what the fuck the plot B of this season was, because like I said, they had like at least 6 to 7 different storylines just rapid firing at you like you're stuck in a bukkake fest. So, I mean, maybe that's, you know, your Jimmy Jam, but it's not mine. So, with that being said, my little truffle hunters, I must bid you adieu. You know, don't let my opinion, slightly negative opinion of X-Men 97 Season 1, dampen your opinions. Just know that, you know, I did appreciate the nostalgia, but I wasn't open to the manipulation of my feelings about the 90s to view this TV series as being entirely amazingly good. Because in my opinion, it just wasn't. And hopefully with season 2, which is, according to rumors, coming sooner than we think, hopefully they fix this ADHD-like necessity of ripping through storyline after storyline after storyline. But with that, I'll say goodnight. Mwah. And goodbye.